In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Up podcast. I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Amanda Juberman.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And for those of you who are just tuning in, the Betches Up podcast is your weekly rundown of all the crazy shit that's happened in the news, explained by your three funniest friends,
which is us.
Today we're talking about
Bill Taylor,
George Kent,
and Donald J. Trump. Let's get into it.
Betches Media presents.
I like beer. I don't know if you do. Okay. Do you like beer, Senator, or not?
My party is going bet crazy.
You're the pop.
Alternative facts.
Oh, goodness.
The Betches Sup podcast.
America!
I was suggesting that we have Bill Taylor saying, weird circumstances added to our
intro. I feel like there were a couple things that could get put in the intro if we totally. Do a rebrand for 2020.
That would be a fun brainstorm. Let us know what you guys want.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea. Outsource this.
If there are any famous clips that you'd like to hear, I think we got to get Bill Taylor's voice
for sure. It's got to be in there. It would be such a waste of a true magnificent talent.
What a great voice that man has.
The best voice.
Yes. As soon as he opened his mouth, I was like, oh, it's on. Like,
speaking of which, we have a special guest on today's podcast. No.
Imagine.
Hello.
It's me, Bill Taylor.
Yeah, so we're obviously going to talk about yesterday's public impeachment hearings today, but we did want to address, as we're recording a little after 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and there are reports of a school shooting in Santa Clarita, California. It's about 30 miles north of Los Angeles. The most recent information that we have, you will surely have more information by the time you listen to this, is that at least 6 people have been taken to the hospital with injuries. The suspect has been injured by police and is also in the hospital. That's the extent of information we have now. There's some more reports, but they will likely change. But we just wanted to make sure we were addressing that. And we will keep you posted on our other platforms. But we'll be watching and hope everyone out there stays safe and knows where their loved ones are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hearts go out to anyone affected or in the area.
Yes. And after we know exactly what happened, I'm sure we'll hear lots about all the numerous thoughts and prayers that will also be distributed.
I'm sure. And if you sign up for the newsletter, we'll have more information.
For sure. Absolutely. Yep.
Should we talk about
happy
what
impeachment?
Oh my gosh. It's just began.
I can't believe that was day one.
Yeah. That didn't really occur to me until you just said it. It was one day.
It was so long. First of all, I watched all the opening statements. That was 2.5 hours.
They didn't ask a question until 2 hours in.
Yeah. And then I was like, I have to leave my house. Yeah. I got shit to do today. Yeah. Like, I have to live.
Right. I know. I saw someone tweeted like more live tweets and was like, we had to go to the bathroom.
I know. I was like, I have to take a shower. I have to eat.
Yeah.
Like there are things. There are other things in my life. Yeah. But wow.
Yeah. It ended at like 4 and I was like, that's it. Because I feel like Mueller was like even longer.
Yeah.
I felt like it was supposed to start at 9, but maybe that was just all the news coverage like telling us to tune in early.
Oh yeah, they started coverage at like 8, but it was always gonna start at 10.
I did, so I was like hoodwinked. I was like watching it at 9 and I was like, what's happening? And I was like, why am I still watching this? Nothing's happening.
Yeah, it's just them pundits. Pontificating.
It's funny to watch on CNN and then for like an hour and a half, they're like, any minute now. Yeah. And then it's just like some random white guy shows up and they're like, there he is.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It's George.
Like, that's right about when I tuned in that they were like, they're here. They're entering. It's happening.
And can you believe it?
Oh my God.
They're going through the scanner. They're putting their stuff through the scanner. Look, even they have to do it.
It was more boring like last week's and the weeks where like we were pretty sure the White House wasn't going to let the people come, but we were still like just one eye on the security. We started at 10 a.m we started off right away. Adam Schiff, chairman of the Intelligence Committee, gave a pretty compelling opening statement about why Congress was moving forward with this process.
Adam Schiff knows how to give an opening statement.
He really does.
He comes to play every time.
I thought it was great. Well, let's play a clip of the beginning of it.
In 2014, Russia invaded the United States ally, Ukraine, to reverse that nation's embrace of the West and to fulfill Vladimir Putin's desire to rebuild a Russian empire. In the following years, 14,000 Ukrainians died as they battled superior Russian forces. Earlier this year, Vladimir Zelensky was elected president of Ukraine on a platform of ending the conflict and tackling corruption. He was a newcomer to politics and immediately sought to establish a relationship with Ukraine's most powerful patron, the United States. The questions presented by this impeachment inquiry are whether President Trump sought to exploit that ally's vulnerability and invite Ukraine's interference in our elections, whether President Trump sought to condition official acts, such as a White House meeting or U.S. military assistance, on Ukraine's willingness to assist with two political investigations that would help his reelection campaign. And if President Trump did either, whether such an abuse of his power is compatible with the office of the presidency. The matter is as simple and as terrible as that.
So that was the beginning. And now, real quickly, we'll play sort of how he wrapped it up about 12 minutes later.
If we find that the President of the United States abused his power and invited foreign interference in our elections, or if he sought to condition, coerce, extort, or bribe an ally into conducting investigations to aid his reelection campaign and did so by withholding official acts, a White House meeting, or hundreds of millions of dollars of needed military aid, must we simply get over it? Is this what Americans should now expect from their president? If this is not impeachable conduct, what is? Does the oath of office itself, requiring that our laws be faithfully executed, that our president defend a constitution that balances the powers of its branches, setting ambition against ambition so we become no monarchy, still have meaning?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that lays it. Question, if this is not impeachable conduct, what is, mm-hmm. I feel like is the linchpin of the whole Democratic strategy.
Right.
But I do feel like his opening statement kind of, laid out the whole strategy, which is like, let's familiarize the public with the timeline.
Yeah.
Let's remind people why this is bad.
Yeah.
Like that this was not in U.S. interests to do.
This is not something that happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like that, just the attempt to do this itself is the impeachable conduct, whether or not, because we'll get into Republican stuff, but their whole thing is like, well, they got the money eventually.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't even happen. So why? It's fine.
Right.
Yeah. Just a reminder that it was to try and influence a future election, no matter what. If like we keep talking about quid pro quo, extortion, bribery, etc. But just asking a foreign country to basically interfere in our 2020 presidential election is the impeachable offense.
Yes.
That itself is.
The ask itself is the offense. Not the fact, like, it's not whether or not the ask was carried out. It's that he asked at all. And this was shown throughout the testimony, that it actually, the ask and withholding this aid and messing with our relationship with Ukraine is actually actively against our own interests of the country.
Yes.
It was in the interest of the president, but not of the United States.
Right. Yeah.
So after Adam Schiff went, Republican Devin Nunes gave his opening statement, because they each were allowed their own. Each side was each allowed their own opening statement. His was a little.
It was pretty like.
Different.
If you didn't watch Fox News, you might have had no idea what he was talking about.
Exactly.
And I think more strange, I just don't know what the strategy was here, just sort of like attempted to sort of disparage the witnesses in like an indirect way. Let's play that clip too.
What we will witness today is a televised theatrical performance staged by the Democrats. Ambassador Taylor and Mr. Kent, I'd like to welcome you here. I'd like to congratulate you for passing the Democrat Star Chamber auditions held for the last weeks in the basement of the Capitol. It seems you agreed, witting or unwittingly, to participate in a drama. But the main performance, the Russia hoax, has ended, and you've been cast in the low-rent Ukrainian sequel. I'll conclude by noting the immense damage the politicized bureaucracy has done to Americans' faith in government. Though executive branch employees are charged with implementing the policies set by our president, who is elected and responsible to the American people, elements of the civil service have decided that they, not the president, are really in charge.
I love the imagery of the low rent Ukrainian sequel. Uh-huh. It reminds me of when you find out that there was like a Legally Blonde 3 and there's like a different, it's not Reese Witherspoon, right, it's like it's a different Ukrainian lady. Yeah. Bruiser is just like a weird like mutt dog with one eye and you're like, where did they get this?
We couldn't get Russia, so we went to TJ Maxx and we found Ukraine.
Exactly. It's like when I was in middle school and my parents bought me a Rage scooter instead of a Razor scooter. It was horrible. You couldn't like switch out the wheels with your friends. Like it was way bigger than all the other scooters. It sucked. God.
Yeah. So after Nunes said that, Adam Schiff, I don't think he made like a thing of it to jump in, but he just restated the, I think this was going to happen anyway, the witness's credentials, which basically sort of canceled out all of the stuff that Nunes tried to claim. So Bill Taylor, I feel like Bill Taylor was definitely sort of the star in terms of substance yesterday, but he's a West Point graduate, graduated West Point in,
fifth in
1969,
his class.
Fifth in his class, Vietnam War veteran, Bronze Star recipient, career public servant, really only agreed to come back in this job because he believed that it would be the best thing for Ukraine, a country he has a lot of knowledge about and passion for. So like immediately that attempt to disparage them was like,
he was retired and the Trump administration asked him to come back. And he's also served under, I believe, 3 Republicans and 2 Democratic presidents.
Yeah, I think it's very likely he's a Republican.
It's just funny to me how the Republicans are all about the troops until somebody says something that they don't like. And then John McCain, throw him under the bus. The Kahn family, throw him under the bus. Anyone who testifies against Trump, Robert Mueller, throw them all under the bus.
I had bone spurs.
Like, the respect for the troops only goes as far as if the troops are saying what the fuck they want to say and are serving their own agenda.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they sort of treat Alexander Vindman next week, who is, like, a Purple Heart recipient.
Yeah.
They're going to do the same
thing.
They're
going to
do the same thing, yeah.
Who was on the call.
Who says that they had omitted stuff from the revised transcript that the president released or the White House released.
Yeah.
Yes.
So as we were saying, the Democratic strategy seemed to be like, here are the facts. I mean, and I think we all knew this going up, like everything to know. Well, we did learn more information than we expected to, but everything that has already happened is already explosive. Mm-hmm. It's already impeachable. Some of it likely criminal. Like it's all already out there. And this, the point of this was to sort of like paint a compelling picture and have these career public servants say it. You know, like as Bill Taylor was reading his opening statement, he spent 40 minutes doing it. It was word for word very similar to the first one. And I was like, oh, but this is so similar. And then I remember like, Amanda, not everyone's like an asshole who just watches CNN all day. Yes. So this is the first time people like it was a good opening statement before and it was again. And he eventually added new information. But clearly they just sort of were like, here are the facts. And then the questions that the Democratic strategy seemed to be to prompt them to sort of explain the implication of what the facts were. That it's beyond just like, this is politics as usual. People ask for favors. The president can do what he wants. Mm-hmm. And really like, no, this was very serious and could have even resulted in like a loss of life.
Yeah, it was like, they wanted to show this is abnormal. I think, how many times did Bill Saylor say unusual?
Yeah, totally
strange. This is unusual. This was against U.S. interests and just gave him the floor to put the timeline up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Taylor, the new GOAT.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm really into him.
Yeah. Well, and also when Bill Taylor spoke in his opening statement, he even made comments about like, I'm not here to decide if the president should be impeached or not. Like, I am not a partisan person. That is up to you guys. So please, like, just any kind of even like furthering rebuking what Devin Nunes said and adding on to what Adam Schiff said. Yeah. Just like being like, this is my job, man.
Right.
Yeah. George Kent also opened his up with me. First of all, George Kent, adorable.
Adorable.
Love it.
Don't
love the bow tie.
He's presumably in his 50s. His voice sounds like he's 28.
Yes.
He has like the energy of like a young person that lives in New York City. And his face is only like, he looks like a young person who you've put an age filter on.
Yeah.
And I was just constantly
he looks like a face app.
I was constantly disarmed by it because I was like, I would date this guy. Like there was just something about him that he seemed like he had been
He's also wearing a bow tie.
But it was the same bow tie he wore in his State Department portrait.
Yes, it's his favorite bow tie.
He has twice now brought a massive Nalgene to hearings.
As he should.
Which, like, you need to be hydrated. That's important.
They're always drinking those tiny water bottles.
Yeah. What was interesting about that is that I was watching a clip on Fox News, because sometimes I watch Fox News just to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all, most of the time, it's like me pulling my hair out and I'm like, I need to change the channel. Anyways. They were like making fun of the fact that he was drinking water. I'm like, this, like this is what you're talking. This is how you're going to try and spin this. You're going to make. He's like, oh, look at him, just like guzzling the, like, whoa, I guess he's thirsty. Ha 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 ha.
It's been
like,
5 hours.
Yes.
Right.
Like, the man's like, drinking water.
Clearly, they're, you guys don't drink enough water.
Still trying to, like, get back at, like, the original drinking water joke is Marco Rubio Marco during. Rubio. Was, it, was it, like, inaugural? No, it was after the State of the Union.
Yeah, it was the Republican response to the State of the Union. And that one, it was like, well, this is 3 minutes long. Yeah. Maybe you don't need to drink water right now.
Yeah, that. But he started doing like, it was like, ooh, Marco.
Right.
And another thing that they were saying, it was like Tucker, a guest on Tucker Carlson. They were like, these guys look like they were the guys who sat by themselves at recess. It's like, ugh, really?
Really?
That's so weird.
First of all, your whole network is people who sat by themselves at recess. That's your whole
They're sitting by themselves
thing.
Right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're sitting by yourself screaming at a camera. Like, that's your exact life.
Yeah.
You can't eat at a restaurant, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
What?
Ugh. Oh, this is a real big tangent that I have not, I'm sorry, but to do this. I saw Shep Smith out at a gay bar.
Oh, yeah.
You did?
I never talked about this. I just thought that was really crazy. Shep Smith, who was the Fox News anchor who recently resigned, fired, no one knows really what happened. I mean, I guess so, but I was just like looking around at everyone else. I'm like, does everyone else see this? Shep Smith. Anyways.
Well, everybody's got a party.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. But I felt like as I was watching, I was sort of comparing it to the Mueller hearing.
Yes.
I think Democrats sort of tried to manage expectations, saying like a lot of the most explosive information is already out there. We're going to paint a picture. I felt like these, as I was watching, because they were like, we're not partisans. We're not here to tell you whether to impeach. Sometimes it's like when one party disagrees with the other, it suddenly becomes partisan and what's right and wrong just like goes away. It's like they're suggesting that just by answering the question, and I feel like it limits the witnesses because they don't want to come off as partisan, but it's like this is information we actually need. And I feel like yesterday they were a little bit more willing to play ball than Robert Mueller was. Robert Mueller famously would not refuse to read from the Mueller report. And so these guys were like, they read their whole, they said what happened in terms that came out in a way that benefited Democrats. Whereas I think that Robert Mueller refused to sort of even deliver factual information in ways that could be interpreted politically. These guys were just answering questions.
Yeah. I think that Bill Taylor kind of turned out to be the golden boy that we had all hoped that Robert Mueller would be. And like, it's not Robert Mueller's job to put on a show for us, but like, babe, come on.
Right.
You know what happened.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, and that's the whole thing is like they would talk about, the Republicans would bring up Mueller and they would bring up the Russia, quote unquote, Russia hoax. It's like, it wasn't a hoax. B, he outlined 10 points of obstruction of justice, and he straight up said the president wasn't the president. He could have indicted him. He felt like charges could have been pressed against him. So I don't know why they're trying to claim that this whole Mueller thing is like great and dandy.
It's just because it didn't hit the public the way, like, after, I remember, you know, we talked about it here, but after the Mueller testimony, I felt like, fuck, that didn't. Yeah.
And I think the goal of the Mueller testimony was, if it was explosive, it could potentially prompt impeachment inquiry. This is the impeachment inquiry.
Yeah.
We're there.
Yeah.
So and that's why the stakes weren't as.
And that's why Jerry Nadler did not chair.
Yeah, that's this what people say, that inquiry. Pelosi wasn't happy with how that went down. Yeah.
Another thing that reminded me too about the Mueller investigations, or just Robert Mueller with these two, they talk about how they take extensive notes about every conversation they have.
Yes.
And there was one part in the testimony that I found interesting, is that they handed their notes, everything that they do, all the things that they write goes to the State Department. And the State Department has their notes on a lot of these conversations that are being discussed. The State Department is unwilling to give it to the Congress.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole thing that comes into the Republican strategy, or one of the main Republican strategies was to be like, this is all hearsay. None of you guys have ever directly talked to Trump. You're all talking about things you heard. And it's like, okay, but the White House isn't allowing anyone who has directly talked to Trump to come testify. So if you want to hear from people who directly talked to Trump, we agree.
Right.
Yeah.
But Mick Mulvaney is not showing up.
Yeah, John Bolton's like telling private rooms of ticket holders what happened, but he won't tell Congress.
I think Bolton might come eventually.
Yeah.
I think that we could perhaps get Bolton in the room.
Yeah, I think it's possible. We talked about the Democratic strategy. We talked about the Republican strategy. Sort of broadly, what did these two guys confirm? I feel like we have a clip that MSNBC compiled of sort of them repeating in various different ways that it was their understanding there was a quid pro quo and that Ukraine wouldn't get a White House meeting or its security assistance without promising to investigate Trump's political rivals.
I think it's crazy to withhold security assistance for help with a political campaign.
The possibility of a White House meeting was being held contingent to an announcement.
The meaning of stalemate was the security assistance would not come.
Giuliani's efforts to gin up politically motivated investigations.
The president's comments were focused on two things, 2016 and the Bidens, am I right?
I believe so, yes.
What was communicated to you was that the president wanted investigations into 2016 and the Bidens.
That was my understanding. Once I arrived in Kyiv, I discovered a weird combination of encouraging, confusing, and ultimately alarming circumstances.
Ooh. That's what I really like. A weird combination.
Yeah.
Confusing and ultimately alarming circumstances. Yeah. It's like, okay.
Yeah, those are not words that you want to hear.
Right.
Yeah.
He also talked about this point where one of the Ukrainian officials or someone in the military was like thanking him for the assistance that the United States was providing, knowing that the United States was withholding that assistance.
Bill Taylor knew
that they were withholding it as he was thanking him for the assistance. And he was like, and they're like, how does it make you feel? And he's like, honestly, I felt really bad.
Yeah.
I felt really wrong about it. And it's like, yeah, that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
He also, important to note, mentioned once again that his wife strongly recommended that he not join the Trump administration.
In no uncertain terms.
Bill Taylor's wife is a character in my mind now who like is always standing in their living room with holding a large glass of wine. Yeah. And when he walks in all sad, she's like, Well.
What did I say?
I don't want to say I told you so, but...
Guess you should have listened to me.
I know. I realized that, like, he was definitely just, like, kept certain paragraphs, and he was probably like, do I need this one? Yeah, she's gonna put that one back in there.
He was like, it's never returned to again.
She's
like, I'm gonna be watching.
Yeah.
And if you don't fucking say.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they also talked about how, like, it's not crazy or, never mind. I don't want to say crazy again because they say crazy a lot. Mm-hmm. How it's, like, not unusual to have, like, you know, two channels working, like the official State Department and then, like, also, like, a, I don't know, what's the word? Like a freelancer, back channel.
Yeah. Freelancer. I like being like Giuliani's freelancing.
Yeah.
What was weird about it was that they had totally different goals.
Right.
Yes.
Totally different end goals.
And I think that's really important for it. It sort of counters an argument that it's like, well, this happens all the time because people are so jaded about politics. And I think Bill Taylor has said, like, I wasn't that concerned that Giuliani was involved. Like, it happens that presidents have allies that they bring into this work to help pursue their agenda. The problem is that agenda was not the United States agenda.
Yeah, it was a completely different end goal, like you were saying.
Right.
Which I think is an important point.
Right, right. Speaking of that, so did we learn anything new yesterday?
We did.
Yes.
Bill Taylor revealed some pretty shocking new information. I was surprised this didn't break before. We'll just play the clip.
Ambassador Sondland called President Trump and told him of his meetings in Kyiv. The member of my staff could hear President Trump on the phone asking Ambassador Sondland about the investigations. Ambassador Sondland told President Trump the Ukrainians were ready to move forward. Following the call with President Trump, the member of my staff asked Ambassador Sondland what President Trump thought about Ukraine. Ambassador Sondland responded that President Trump cares more about the investigations of Biden, which Giuliani was pressing for.
Oof.
Yikes. Whoa. So the context is that Bill Taylor's aide was in a restaurant with Gordon Sondland, the guy who's sort of like been talking directly to Trump about
just
all
of this. Just revised his testimony
to
be like, actually, you know what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was a quid pro quo. And I actually told the Ukrainians about it.
Right. And I think this call happened after he told the Ukrainians about it. And then I guess Trump was talking very loudly on an unsecure, certainly Sondland's phone was not secure, investigations that apparently a second person has come forward today, or there's a report that another person than her just her on the phone, Trump talking about it.
There's no way that Trump doesn't scream in his phone.
Oh, he's one of those old people.
Absolutely. It's on speakerphone. He's screaming. He can't hear them.
Like, I can't hear them, so I need to talk louder. Yes.
And then you on the receiving end, I have to pull it away.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so loud for you.
Yes. He's definitely one of those people. He definitely screams at anyone who speaks another language, too. Like, thinking that, like, if you speak English louder, they speak English somehow. Yeah.
He just forgets he's, like, not standing in front of the helicopter on his way to go.
Yeah. He talks at helicopter level.
Maybe that's why he's always in front of the helicopter, because he can't hear it. He's like, what are you guys talking about? This is confusing.
Mm-hmm. Why? I'm not yelling.
Yeah. Or it makes his normal voice level seem appropriate because it's like, well, there is a helicopter.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. It's like he's not even going anywhere. They're like, we just go up and come down so he can talk. But this is pretty significant, right?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it connects Trump directly to conversations about soliciting foreign elections, which is funny because it's like, oh my God, it connects him. But like, then you remember it's like, he said it in the call, the first call that we all saw, but now there's this apparently campaign to say he had nothing to do with it.
And also like, now there's this whole new line of questioning to take for Gordon Sondland's testimony next week.
And, which is on Wednesday.
Which is on Wednesday. And you could see that this piece of information like rattled people in the room because Republicans didn't address it at all.
No.
You know, it was just like, okay, let's just block that out.
Yeah, you would really think that they would be like, maybe even accuse the Democrats of having already known that. Or like, I thought that was going to sort of be a whole thing. Like, you brought information that we couldn't prepare for. Because I mean, the point is to remind people watching that this isn't a criminal trial, but because the Republicans have like kind of successfully spun it that way, in my head, I was like, well, the prosecution can't bring new evidence that the defense hasn't seen, but I guess they can. And also, it's not that it's just a witness.
Yeah, but who's leading the Republican strategy? Jim Jordan. And what does Jim Jordan love to do? Ignore new information that is being told to him about crimes.
There was this whole back and forth between Jim Jordan and Adam Schiff, where Jim Jordan's like, Adam Schiff is the only person who's met with the whistleblower. We don't know how many times he's met with the whistleblower, like what they talked about, et cetera, et cetera. And Adam Schiff is like, I don't know who the whistleblower is. I've never met them. And then they continue to say it over and over again. It's like, if you keep saying it, it doesn't make it true.
Well, there was also, literally before they even got into questioning, a new representative who I didn't know anything about named Elise Stefanik, which is upsetting to me because there aren't a lot of Elises. There's no, we don't have any consistency in spelling. We're a disparate and tight-knit group. And so when one comes up that is being disgraceful to the name, it upsets me.
Yeah.
But she was like, when are you going to let us call our witnesses? And he was like, we did. They come in next week. Right. And she was like, that's only some of them.
Yeah. Sorry, we're not having Hunter Biden in.
Yeah, or the whistleblower.
Or the whistleblower.
And he was, and she was like, and at these closed door hearings, he was like, you weren't there. She was like, I was there sometimes.
Yeah. I know, that was so funny.
Oh, that was great. Yeah.
It was so crazy. She just like went right off the bat. She was like, this is my moment.
Well, that like after that part where he was like, you didn't come to them. She's like, yeah, I did. He's like, not to all of them. She's like, well, you're right. And then that was the end of it. I was like, okay, well, all right.
Literally, there are Republicans who, like, their thing is being mad that they were not invited to meetings for committees they weren't on. Right.
It's like, I'm sorry we didn't send you an Evite with, like, a fun jingle and, like, some, like...
A paperless post.
Yeah, like, sorry.
She was also... They did, like, a presser after with Jim Jordan, who was not wearing a jacket... Not
asshole.
Wearing a jacket.
We need to figure this out. He's never wearing an asshole. He's never wearing a jacket. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he has weird arms or gets hot, but I think everybody gets hot. Like, he's never wearing a jacket.
Mm-hmm. He needs to be addressed. Maybe he gets really... Like, sometimes I sweat more if I'm wearing a jacket, so maybe that's...
I have an issue of sweating as well, but I wear the jacket to hide the sweating. So it can't be that, because if he was sweating, you would see like the outline in the white, but the suit jacket hides the sweat.
Or maybe he has weird things about like I can't. I'm really weird about textures on my skin. I can't handle wearing certain things. That's pretty common. Maybe that's it.
Mm. Maybe, but, you know, we don't know his measurements. Maybe it's hard for him to get a jacket. Maybe he's got like
really long arms.
Really long arms, broad shoulders, narrow shoulders. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he was assistant wrestling coach. So maybe he has long. Yeah, famously.
Famously involved in the wrestling program at Ohio State.
Speaking of Jim Jordan, so I think he was basically moved on to one of these committees involved because people felt really strongly that he could sort of be.
Yes.
And, you know, if I were a Republican and I was on the fence, I have to say I think Jim Jordan is kind of effective, even though he's wrong about everything. Like the way
he's better than Devin Nunes.
He is.
Devin Nunes exactly. has been removed from. I mean, he still gets to do the opening statement because he's still the ranking member or whatever. But I feel like they realized that Devin Nunes is a joke.
Yes.
They were like, oh, you know what? We got to get a new guy.
Jim Jordan does speak at a speed, though, that I feel like a lot of people are like, what did he say? He was like, sometimes I speak too fast. And I was being like, oh, wow, he's talking very fast. Like, my grandmother would have yelled at me and be like, I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah. He's good at very, like, smugly dismissing extremely pertinent questions. Like, at the end when someone was like, I saw him in his debrief after. And he was there. They were like, well, what do you say to the
him in his what?
I saw him in his debriefs. And it was weird.
That was his intention.
But he like they were asking him, what do you have to say to the Democratic talking point or the point that the factual analysis that even attempted crimes are crimes?
Right.
And he was like. He rolled his eyes so far back in his head and he was like, that's absurd. And like, it's not absurd.
Yeah.
It's good. It's, but I feel like a Devin Nunes would be like, what?
Exactly.
And like exactly, drop all of his papers. And like, and so he's at least like, he's good at bullshitting his bullshitty way. Personally to me, he comes off as a complete psychopath, but some people are into that kind of thing.
They think they're like doing this thing for their base, or they're like, a lot of the Republicans were performing.
They're
like,
performing for an audience of one.
Like, and that, and also, like, Devin Nunes sent out immediately, like, fundraising emails right after his opening statement. It's like, what was your intention?
Well, also, it's like, did you see that? Like, it was rough.
Yeah, well, it was not great.
Devin Nunes also might need some money to fund his lawsuit, which he's currently he's currently suing the Twitter account Devin Nunes Cow and Devin Cow. This is real. He's suing both of those Twitter accounts for making fun of him and pretending to tweet as him as a cow.
That's so random.
I love that.
And so he's filing
lawsuits. He has the time.
Yeah. At one point, though, Jim Jordan was a little bit, I don't even think he got rattled, but it was not a shining moment.
Yes.
He was, we've said a couple times, they seem to be harping on the fact that these witnesses, Democrats call them their star witnesses. Really, they're the only witnesses that have come that the White House is actually the White House didn't let them come forward. The State Department told them not to. They were there because they believed they needed to be.
The witnesses who are coming forward now are people who have agreed to like defy this White House order, basically.
Right. So Jim Jordan basically is like, he wants to demand that the whistleblower appear. He's like, the whistleblower is the only person that has first information, which is not actually true.
No,
the whistleblower has less information than people they've talked to.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Also, we don't even need the whistleblower because the transcript that the White House released confirms what the whistleblower said.
We actually know more from other people.
Yes. So he was sort of spinning this where he's like, well, we should hear from the whistleblower because we should hear from the person that started it all. And that sort of backfired. Listen to this.
I said this last week, but this is a sad day. This is a sad day for this country. You think about what the Democrats have put our nation through for the last 3 years. Started July of 2016 when they spied on two American citizens associated with the presidential campaign and all that unfolded with the Mueller investigation after that. And when that didn't work, here we are. Based on this is the American people see through all this. They understand the facts support the president. They understand this process is unfair. And they see through the whole darn sham. With that, I yield back.
Mr. Welch.
Thank you. I'd say to my colleague, I'd be glad to have the person who started it all come in and testify. President Trump is welcome to take a seat right there.
Love an impromptu laugh line.
Welch from Democrats. There were a few moments of laughs in the room, and none of them were at Democrats, right?
No. That was a good. I think that was the biggest one.
I was
audible.
I was like, are you UCB trained? What's going on? Like,
that was great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Bill Taylor said, I don't consider myself a star witness for anything. Yes. I'm not here to take one side or the other or to advocate for any particular outcome. Bill Taylor also really just like talked about how he did a really convincing job of demonstrating that Ukrainians are in actual danger when the aid is held up because we are the superpower backing the Ukrainians fighting another superpower or perceivably a superpower, which is Russia. And withholding the security assistance basically invites Russia to pounce on a weakened Ukraine, and it would cost actual Ukrainian lives. 13,000 Ukrainians have died in this country's conflict with Russia. And they die every weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is I think that's something that maybe gets lost, that I appreciated both George Kent and Bill Taylor kind of walking through. Because I think, I mean, I'm even talking about myself who's in with the news, but like the average American is not. They probably remember like, oh yeah, Russia annexed Crimea. And I remember that from
2014.
But you don't realize that, like, yeah, that was the start of something that has been going on since then, that is extremely real to the people who are living there and actually costing lives.
Yeah. Yeah. They're and it's still
not,
fighting
them. This, and it's like, not that any one country should be more important in fallen power sleep to us than another, but that's generally a fact. And like Ukraine, to most people, it sounds like just a random Eastern European country, but it's really like sort of between the East and West in a way that's like, if we have Ukraine as like a willing democracy who's friendly to the West, like that is really huge in how Russia can sort of, we can slow Russia's grip on that part of the world. It's like our relationship with them, even though it's a smaller country, is strategically one of our more important relationships.
Yes. And like just the, on a philosophical, moral, international relations level, if Russia is allowed to go into Ukraine and take part of their territory, what is the domino effect of that without anybody saying anything?
They broke international law. They violated something that's been going on for 70 years.
Yes.
By trying to like take the sovereign nation of another, like, you know what I mean?
It's, we all, like, all the major world powers agreed on a couple of things. Yeah. And one of them is the sovereignty of people's borders. And we were like, we're not doing like imperialism anymore. We did it. We actually really fucked up a lot of places with it. We're not gonna pay for that, but we are gonna stop going forward. And this is, I mean, it was a huge violation of the rules of the game, and basically
that's why they're no longer in the G7, you know. And that's why there's these sanctions against Russia. It's because they did this thing. And when we started withholding this aid from the Ukrainians, it was kind of giving Russia even more of a go-ahead to be like, oh, I'm just going to push a little further. Maybe I'll go into this place next because...
Right. If Trump stays president, there's no repercussions. Like Bill Taylor said a couple of times, it's like, we sent the signal, even though it was temporary. Like, you can't walk that back. Like, the argument that, yes, the aid was released also once the White House got wind that people were looking into it, like... it's enough. Like, damage was done, which I think people should know too. Like, we signaled to Russia, and if nothing happens, Bill Taylor didn't say this, I'm saying that if nothing happens from this, Russia's gonna be like, all right, next time we can get even further with that guy.
Well, Vladimir Putin knows that at best we're indifferent towards the situation in Ukraine at this point, and now has probably, I imagine he watched the hearings yesterday. I think that Putin's probably keeping abreast of the whole situation. And now he saw that Donald Trump has communicated to his top foreign policy people that he only cares about these investigations. He does not care about the other shit that is going on.
Bill Taylor said, it's one thing to try to leverage a meeting in the White House. It's another thing, I thought, to try to leverage security clearance, because security assistance. It was much more alarming.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the reason a meeting at the White House is important is because it kind of symbolizes that relationship that, like, the U.S. is backing us. We are still friends with the U.S. If you mess with us, you mess with our big old buddy.
And Ukraine had earned that meeting. I don't think any Democrat is trying to say that Ukraine has never had an issue with corruption. It's just that issue has nothing. It's not Hunter Biden's problem. And that isn't nearly the most, like, the argument that's like Donald Trump just sincerely wanted to root out corruption. It's like, this is the only time tried. And so they had really wanted this meeting because, like, the guy, like, I think Zelensky, like, he won, which was huge because he's an outsider who promised reforms. He got rid of his whole cabinet and hired a new one, I believe, something like that. He, like, changed a rule that lawmakers would have immunity. Like, he did everything he was supposed to do to get that meeting. And that's why you can sort of understand why he was, like, he was about to go to a microphone and go on CNN to be like, I guess I got to do this, too, to get this meeting, because this is what we need to signal to, like, Russia on our side.
That's why that whole argument that they have, it's about being like, well, they got the security assistance, so who cares? It's like, they weren't going to get it. What happened was, is on September 9th, the House found out that this was happening. They found out this was happening.
And it had to go or else it would never go.
And
right?
That's when, and then on the 11th, 2 days later, is Zelensky was scheduled to talk on CNN to announce the investigations. It's like, there's just like a 2 day period where it got fucked up.
It was going to happen.
It was going to happen.
It was going to happen.
This he is just like, this is just like with Mueller. It's like, well, you know, he asked people to fire Mueller, but they didn't do it.
Yes.
They asked him to do this. It's a very similar like argument against like he didn't obstruct because he was not successful. He's too much of a failure.
And this whole thing about needing him to publicly announce it, I think, and I don't know if I necessarily saw anyone making this point, but this came to my mind, if any, you know, Democratic Congress people are listening and they want to take it. The fact that he was like obsessed with him announcing it publicly, I think also shows that his point, his concern is not corruption. Cause it's like, what? He wasn't like, I want you to investigate the Biden.
Yeah.
He was like, I want you to say on television that you are investigating the Bidens. I don't think he gives two shits if Zelensky investigated a single other thing that day.
He does not, in that transcript or that rough transcript that they released, there is the word corruption does not come up once.
No.
Biden does.
Yeah. Says what the Bidens, it's horrible. It sounds horrible to me.
And if you were so concerned about corruption, A, it's like if you think Ukraine is so corrupt, why would you think that they would be rooting out corruption? B, there's like Ukrainian oligarchs who are backed by Putin and Ukraine, you know, like maybe they should be the ones that you're looking into first.
It's just,
we're trying to make sense of something that is nonsensical.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that I think Republicans did a decent job of dancing around things. Well, okay. So let's talk about the Republicans' lawyer. So the beginning of this,
Steve Castor,
they had Nunes and Schiff each had 45 minutes to question. They took about half of that, maybe a little less, it seemed like, and then gave the rest to these attorneys. The explanation for this was that these attorneys are more skillful and they're not putting on a political show. But then everybody else still got 5 minutes, and Nunes and Schiff talked plenty. So I don't really understand what was so beneficial about having them. Certainly on the Republican side, I don't think that he had a great first day at work.
No.
Yeah, he has questions that sort of seem designed to legitimize Trump's concern. What we were just talking about, but don't you think there was corruption? Wasn't there corruption? What about this guy? And these two men are very familiar with everything, and they gave answers to the questions. But there were some where like Bill Taylor, look up on YouTube, just look up Washington Post video. They have a very funny mashup of Bill Taylor sincerely wants to answer Steve Castor's questions. He just cannot because they don't make any sense. He's like, do you know if Hunter Biden went to grad school? Do you know where he lives? Do you know if he was qualified for this job? Do you know what Trump knew about this at this
time?
And Ukrainian? Bill Taylor starts to laugh because he's like, no, I can't say yes or no to you. I can't say things that benefit them under oath, and I can't say things that benefit you under oath.
What's Hunter Biden's Chipotle order?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
This is another one of those kind of laughing moments here is when he was like, at one point, Castor was urging Taylor to say that it wasn't that. It's like, it was weird, but it wasn't that weird, was it?
Yeah.
So he's like, it was irregular, but it wasn't that irregular for Gordon Sondland, the ambassador to the EU, which Ukraine is not a part of, to be involved with this whole ordeal. And Taylor said it was a little unusual. Then Castor asked, but not outlandish, right? Taylor smiles and shakes his head, and he just wouldn't answer. He's
we can't. I tried to see if a clip of this would work, but it's just very funny.
It's very visual.
Yeah. It's very visual.
Bill Taylor's just sort of he does the guy a favor because he's like, I can't give you the answer you want, so I'm not gonna make a fool out of you. But if you could see, if you listen to this on the radio, you might think that was fine. But
he was literally being like, it was bad, but was it as bad as the worst thing that's
I think it was as outlandish as it could be.
Yeah.
And then Bill Taylor's still like, I don't know. It was very funny to watch.
Yeah. He's like, is it as bad as nuclear war? And he's like, I guess not, man.
Yeah.
That was a weird line of questioning. I felt like the Republicans were quite dissatisfied with that.
Yeah.
Castor oil is the antidote to love potion in Harry Potter. And I can say that Steve Castor was not the antidote.
No. Not at all. Yeah. I didn't even realize that was true. So that's interesting. It's a fact I didn't know about. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Another funny Republican showing was John Ratcliffe. He's a Republican from Texas. And I was reading that he's like one of Trump's favorites and one that Republicans, honestly, everyone kind of disappointed themselves, I think. He was one that like they're really trying to put forward as Trump's like main defender because what he has said behind closed doors are, the opposite to the media has like sort of made sense and seems to connect with people. But during his turn to question, he asked Bill Taylor to point out the impeachable offense in the phone call and asked him a number of questions and then is like shocked that Bill Taylor attempts to answer and then sort of like loses his mind.
The Ukrainian president stood in front of the world press and repeatedly, consistently, over and over again, interview after interview, said he had knowledge of military aid being withheld, meaning no quid pro quo, no pressure, no demands, no threats, no blackmail, nothing corrupt. And unlike the first 45 minutes that we heard from the Democrats today, that's not secondhand information. It's not hearsay. It's not what someone overheard Ambassador Sondland say. That was his direct testimony. Ambassador Taylor, do you have any evidence to assert that President Zelensky was lying to the world press when he said those things? Yes or no?
Mr. Ratcliffe, if I can respond.
My time is short.
Your time
yes
is
or no?
That's right. I have no reason to doubt what the president said in his.
Okay, very good. So in this impeachment hearing today, where we impeach presidents for treason or bribery or other high crimes, where is the impeachable offense in that call? Are either of you here today to assert there was an impeachable offense in that call? Shout it out. Anyone?
Mr. Ratcliffe, if I can just respond, let me just reiterate that I'm
I've
not
got
here
1 minute left.
I know, you only got a minute left. I've
point.
Just got 30. I've
Please
got.
Allow the witness. You asked the witness a question. The witness
I'll withdraw the question. Let me
and,
just
and
make
I'm
this
not
point.
Here to take one side or the other. That's your
Ambassador,
decision.
Let me answer this.
The
let
general,
me ask you
the
this
general
question.
Will suspend.
Spend the time.
Ambassador Taylor, would you like to answer the question?
Suspend the time, please. I withdrew the question.
The gentleman will suspend. We will suspend the clock.
Suspend the clock in 1 minute, please.
Ambassador Taylor, would you like to respond to the question?
Mr. Ratcliffe, I would just like to say that I'm not here to do anything having to do with to decide about impeachment. That is not what either of us are here to do. This is your job.
Will you
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
This restore
is your
time
job.
To the clock to 1 minute.
No, but you may continue 22 seconds.
Fine. Mr. Ambassador, I think everyone knows that House Democrats have made up their mind to impeach one president. The question that we've just...
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. Fine.
Fine. I love just like weary Adam Schiff voice. Or he's just like, the ambassador... Please let the ambassador answer the question.
That's why I think that Schiff managed those little confrontations really well. He could have been a little bit of a
He's
dick
truly
about it.
Not reactionary at all. He's just like, suspend the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and then I guess what happened at the end was that it seemed like Ratcliffe was under the impression he was going to get a full minute back. And then Schiff was like, no, you took all that time to yell at the ambassador.
Yeah.
So no. And then you hear like, ooh.
Well, I think the Republicans in the galley were like upset.
But, you know,
this whole argument that Zelensky was like, it was like, he didn't even actually say no pressure. Let's just like clear that up. But he did. He was asked these questions while sitting next to President Trump. A, that's an awkward way to put it. Mm-hmm. B, Ukraine still needs the United States assistance, no matter what is going on here. Zelensky's first interest is Ukraine. Is his people.
Yeah,
and he's not going to do anything to fuck that up. So he's not going to get involved. He's not going to get involved in our partisan bullshit.
You imagine this poor guy? I mean, who knows? I don't know. We don't know everything about him. Something terrible could come out about him. But like he has like he got he's a comedian. He gets elected to try to change things for his country and to make it like positioned better so that the West trusts it and they can get some help with like getting Russia off their back. Does everything he can. And then like he's like, okay, I guess I have to participate in corruption to seem less corrupt.
Yeah. I think after Zelensky is done being president of Ukraine, he should write a new show about his time being president of the Ukraine and play himself again
100%.
As a comedy. Because he must be...
Someone
who probably has a good sense of humor, he's probably like, son of...
Oh my God.
Like talking to Donald Trump, first of all, he must be like this. Fucking guy is an idiot. And then he also has to spend time with Rudy Giuliani. Like, I imagine the notebooks full of material that he has that he is unable to use are filling every day.
Like,
So did Trump watch the hearings?
He said that he was too busy to watch. Incidentally, of course, yesterday he met with Turkish President Erdogan.
Last time,
behind a closed door meeting that sounded very intense.
Last time Erdogan was here, his people beat the shit out of peaceful protesters. Remember that?
Yep.
That was awful. I recently came across that video again and was quite disturbed, and nothing happened.
When I went to do my Fox News check-in, because I watched the whole thing, and then I was like, let's see what Fox News is saying about this. They had already cut to Trump's press conference with Erdogan. No other network was cutting to it, but they were like, let's cut away from that and just cut to the president doing president stuff immediately. Yeah. Like they were done talking about the hearing immediately, which to me was a signal of how bad it was for them. That they were like, we actually need time to like regroup and figure out which parts of this we're going to steal and spin and whatever.
Right.
Which I do not think if he had met with Erdogan after the Mueller testimony, they would have cut to it that fast because they had a lot of like meat to go through there. Mm-hmm. Whereas this one, it was just so objectively bad for them that they were like, let's just cut to this other thing.
I think they even played Wendy Williams yesterday. During this.
That's really?
I don't think they like, I think they just like went with their like regular programming at a certain point.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Well, yeah. I mean, and then like a couple weeks ago, Lindsey Graham was like, yeah, I'm not going to watch. I don't care.
Yeah.
That's what you want in your elected officials.
But it's like, I don't know why they think this Erdogan thing is a good distraction. It's like,
apparently the meeting was like Republican senators yelling at Trump and Erdogan about how they're killing people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that was not a smart idea on the, White House side, I will say.
I honestly think they probably scheduled it because the people who deal with Trump are like, we got to give him something to do on this day.
That's
or else
true.
He is going to be unmanageable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like when you give a toddler their favorite
totally.
Toy.
Right.
Or something,
we would
to
love to take
them.
Him golfing, but the optics.
Yeah, the optics are bad. So I'm like, guess we'll have him meet with Erdogan.
Yeah, that's better.
which dictator can get here quicker?
Yes, exactly. Who do we have on speed dial?
Yeah.
Jared?
Who's not mad at us?
Can we WhatsApp a couple of dictators and see who can get here?
So speaking of Erdogan and Jared, that was one of, you kind of hinted at this before with John Bolton. John Bolton talked about how apparently in some closed door meeting how he thinks that the Turkey policy is based off of some personal financial interest involving Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump.
Sounds about right. Another thing about John Bolton that kept coming up, and I do feel like maybe we will hear from John Bolton because I think John Bolton is not happy with how he was treated at the White House. But I think he wants to make money on his book and whatever first. But they kept using this quote, which if it had been in the other stuff, I hadn't like registered it, of him hearing about what was going on with Ukraine, leaving the room and saying, I don't want to be a part of whatever drug deal is going on here.
Mm-hmm. John Bolton.
Yeah.
John Bolton.
And he's not a person that shies away from aggressive foreign policy.
No.
That's sort of his main problem. It's funny because like a year ago, we were like, John Bolton's the most terrifying motherfucker all up in there. And now it's like, well, tell us what happened, man.
I'm like,
we thought we were going to war with Venezuela because John Bolton wanted it.
I know.
It
now he was like, I want that. This is a drug deal.
Yeah.
This is he called Giuliani a hand grenade. And he doesn't, apparently he wields those very casually.
Yeah, so. I mean, show me the lie on that one. So
so what's next? Gordon Sondland. And I'm looking forward to. That's on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, the same day as the debate.
That's
so we're going to die.
Television to watch.
I know. Mm-hmm. The Thursday pod is going to be 5 hours long.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what, you guys? If you follow us on Instagram, message us and let us know what you would like us to focus on. I think that maybe we'll do it 50-50. It really depends. I feel like there's not going to be a ton of new information in the Democratic debate. Elise informed me in the newsletter this morning, Julian Castro did not qualify.
Did not qualify.
Mm-hmm.
But that I think, I don't know. No, I don't think Bloomberg is in it either.
No. And Deval Patrick, who entered yesterday, I assume is not going to be in it.
No.
So.
No. Tulsi will be there,
Tulsi
though.
Tulsi will be
there. Yes. Steyer is still in as well.
Yes.
So what was like, just like an overall feeling I had afterwards, I was like, I don't know if that I've been just like so naive this whole time. Like, I've been aware of this, but like, it just makes me feel very naive that. It's like even when like how partisan things really are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like even when the facts are there, how it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I felt like there's never been such an explicit showing of it in these past 4 years, or even like maybe I should have like guessed it when Obama got elected and Mitch McConnell said like we're not going to let this our number one goal is to make him a first term president and not let him get anything done. Like that should have been like a clue. But like this seems just like so outrageous that they're so that they're defending him so starkly. I'm like, you guys look crazy. Like, don't you realize? Like, I mean, I'm hoping that they'll like if we still have history books in 10 years, like you will be like on the wrong side of history forever.
I think
forever.
That's why Democrats felt it was so important to do this. It's because to me, I think also the reason I felt positively about yesterday is because I do believe this is a foregone conclusion. I believe he will be impeached and he will not be removed.
Yes.
But this is, we got to the point where this was worth doing to have all of those people on the record for in the history books when it's like, oh my God, that was even worse than Nixon. Like, how did that guy get to stay?
Yeah. And
because of these people.
Elizabeth Warren actually has made this point before where she's like, impeach him in the House so that we can get every senator on record about what happened here. And like, I mean, think about in 2008, how Obama basically got the nomination because he had voted against the Iraq War. And we know where things are now, but wait a couple of years because some of these baby boomers out of here.
Yeah.
Like, it's there's going to come a point where the vote not to impeach Trump will be a liability for some of those senators.
And another reason to have it on the record is because if he is not convicted, which I don't think he will be, and if he is asked to serve another term, like say he does something even worse and it results in actual real consequences, then it's like, well, the House impeached him over that. And like maybe if you had removed him, like we suggested, this wouldn't have happened. Like we're talking about people could have died had that assistance not been let through.
Yeah.
And like if we had done nothing, this phone call was the day after the Mueller testimony. It was the day after he went on the phone and he pressured another country.
Because he did not face consequences.
What is he going to do the day after he gets off for this? Mm-hmm. Like maybe something slightly less worse than what he would have done had we not decided to impeach.
Yeah, that is terrifying to think about.
So what's next, guys?
Well, we've got Marie Yovanovitch on Friday. They're also apparently doing a deposition closed door with Gordon's or Bill Taylor's aide, who heard Gordon Sondland say all that.
I think that's on
shady shit. That's on Friday also too, on Friday.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday, Jennifer Williams and Alexander Vindman. Tuesday afternoon, Kurt Volker and Tim Morrison. Wednesday morning, Gordon Sondland, which is going to be we all think is going to be the big one. Wednesday afternoon, two more people, Laura Cooper and David Hale. Thursday, Fiona Hill. Holy shit.
Vindman's a big one too, because Vindman did hear the call.
Yeah.
So that's going to be
a firsthand witness and an unimpeachable witness.
He's the one that like Fox News really came for.
Yeah. Right? Well, I think they're going to try to character assassinate the shit out of him because their hearsay argument doesn't work with him.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to pivot to something else.
Purple Heart recipient.
Purple Heart recipient.
Yeah. So Mitch McConnell, he said we should give the people an opportunity to put the case on. The House will have presenters. The president will no doubt be represented by lawyers as well. Because he's talking about how that he has no interest in preventing an impeachment trial in the Senate actually happening.
Yeah. It's interesting. So Mitch McConnell has signaled that he's going to like, first of all, he also has to let. I think there are like rules that are like he
can't just motion to dismiss.
Yeah, but he can limit a lot of things once the impeachment trial gets to the Senate. He can limit how long it's happening. Like, remember with Kavanaugh, they were like, okay, we'll investigate this for 1 week.
Right, right.
So he could be like, well, it has to be done within a week, you know, even if, and then if the White House gets everyone to not show up, there are a lot of sneaky things Mitch McConnell can do. Yeah. That aren't just stopping the hearing from happening.
And it's mandatory for senators to be there. And we talked about this. We have six senators running to be the Democratic for the Democratic nomination who will have to be there.
Yes.
So it's like, I wonder which side he wants to play it. Is like, does he want to drag it out so they can't campaign? Or does he like try and get it? Like, you know what I mean? Or
do you try? It's so hard to put yourself in Mitch McConnell's head. Would he rather?
In his turtle shell.
Would he rather make it go fast so that the inquiry is like kneecapped, but Donald Trump is safer? Or would he rather make it harder for Democrats to campaign and make Donald Trump's campaign safer?
I don't think he wants the public to see what Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders have to say about this.
And that's Kamala. And,
well, Kamala's going to slay. Polling isn't, but yeah. I mean, it could go up if she has this shiny moment. Slays.
I mean, she's just great in hearings, so I'm always happy to have her at a hearing.
Yeah, Okay, so for one more thing today, we're going to play a game of who's the biggest asshole in Congress.
This is something we do at our live shows. It's a lot of fun.
How does it work?
So all three of us are going to have 20 seconds to nominate someone to be the biggest asshole in Congress. And then
our producer, Ronnie, is going to vote on who was most convincing.
Ronnie will decide for the people, Kamala Harris, for the people, who is the biggest asshole in Congress.
Okay.
Yeah.
So each of us will be representing a different person. You've already heard about all of their performances.
Yes.
So far, but we'll just be reminding you why they're bad.
Right, right. Yeah.
I'm excited.
So in
20
seconds
game.
Or however long it takes. I feel like I'm not going to need that long.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. Put 20 seconds on the clock. I mean, there's no clock.
I can do it. I got it.
There is a clock. It just never occurred to us.
Okay. Devin Nunes. He's suing two accounts that are impersonating him as a cow.
I don't know what has happened. Why did it? It started going backwards.
Just take as long as you need and then.
Okay. I feel like I'm rushing myself for no reason. Devin Nunes, he's suing two Twitter accounts, Devin Nunes Cow, and I think he's just like Nunes Cow.
Yeah.
Moo you. Like, boo. Mm-hmm. I get it. His opening statement was full of conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. He brings up Burisma, bullshit, et cetera, et cetera. Also, he's just not very qualified to be there. I mean, he was like, what? I forget what he was, but I think he was like worked in agriculture before this when he's sharing a seat with Adam Schiff, who's a former lawyer. I don't know. I just don't feel like he needs to be there.
Yeah. He sucks. Mm-hmm. Devin Nunes sucks. He also like gave during the Mueller, when he was like still in charge as a Republican. I feel like I'm like going to argue for all of these people to be
please.
It. But when he was still in charge as a Republican, when he had Adam Schiff's job, he would just like go over to the White House and give them all of the information that they had on what was happening with Mueller.
And now they're actually looking into one of his aides for illegal activity concerning that.
Great. And also is suing two Twitter accounts that are pretending to be him as a cow, which
parody
is important.
Hilarious.
Parody Twitter accounts suing. I can go next.
Yeah.
I'm doing Jim Jordan, who, first of all, point number one, he has been in every single iteration of this game that we have played because he has always done some bullshit. Every time we play this game after a major thing has happened, Jim Jordan is one of the people because he is an asshole. Why isn't he wearing a jacket? He won't answer these questions. We need to know. He's always wearing sort of like a gray shirt, yellow tie, no jacket combination. Does his closet look like Doug? Is it the same outfit over and over again?
Dwight Schrute.
Exactly. We don't know. He's not answering the important questions, but he is asking a bunch of dumbass questions, which we just heard. And most importantly, he did not investigate sexual misconduct at Ohio State University when he was in charge of the wrestling team there. Several people who were on the wrestling team say that they came forward to Jim Jordan, told him about misconduct, and he did not do anything. And a new person came forward about it last week. Mm-hmm. This is still happening. And yet he goes up there and throws out a bunch of conspiracy theories and just pretends like he's a reasonable person whose opinion we should be listening to and refuses to acknowledge that, like, literally multiple people, not hearsay, buddy, multiple people have come forward and been like, hey, I told you that the team doctor was engaging in sexual misconduct and you didn't do anything.
A referee walked in on the this guy masturbating in the shower to the other people.
Yep. And
told Jim Jordan about
like,
it.
And Jim Jordan was like, I what?
Well, no, he said, oh, that's just whatever his name is. That's what he said, according to this guy. Allegedly.
Oh, you know, that's just...
that's just what he does.
That's just... it's fine. It's fine. Anyway. Pro-public masturbation, anti-jacket, Jim Jordan. That's my...
anti-jacket. That's the weird thing. I'm very suspicious of that. Okay, John Ratcliffe. John Ratcliffe is a Republican from Texas. He was the guy yesterday who yelled at ambassadors and veterans when they tried to answer his question. He also did this with Robert Mueller, who's also a decorated veteran and public servant. But John Ratcliffe was Trump's nominee for director of national intelligence for about 2 days. Mm-hmm. In those 2 days, it came out that he had fudged his resume and in ways. So he claimed to have oversaw the arrest of 300 immigrants. Which is cool. Not, which apparently was, you know, for them is like, well, that's great. And said that he had personally arrested people in Hamas and people accused of funneling money to Hamas. These things were not true. They were known to be not true. So several days after Trump nominated him, he withdrew that nomination. So this guy is very mean to good people, vulnerable people, lies about causing a great deal of harm. And that's John Radcliffe. I think he's the biggest asshole in Congress.
Before we vote, do you guys, this is all we can talk about because it's such a big story. Obviously, the impeachment is huge. It's so funny. Did you see that story about how there was someone working in like the Justice Department or working for the White House somewhere, was hired by the administration, who faked a Time magazine cover?
Yeah, we're gonna have a story of that on Sep a little later.
I love that. It's
so ridiculous, and like, no, and she got the job.
Yes, that's. I mean, that's crazy. Can I also say before we go to voting that the number one, the person who I actually think had the best day yesterday, is unfortunately Stephen Miller, because within the last 48 hours, the Southern Poverty Law Center released many emails from him where he espouses white supremacist views. It's crazy what he says in these emails. Yeah. He like promotes white supremacist conspiracy theories, and nobody's talking about it because literally the next day was the opening of the impeachment testimony. So I think he's just going to get away with it, and it's going to be no problem, and no one's going to be talking about it. But if that had happened on a slow news day, his job might be, he might be in trouble. But he's not in trouble because the impeachment hearing happened.
Yeah.
So great day for Stephen Miller, unfortunately.
Ronnie. Okay, Ronnie, what do you think?
Who convinced you?
I'm going to have to go with No Jacket Jordan.
Yeah. He's won again.
I think he got an unfair advantage by being by ignoring sexual assault.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of unfair of him to have done that in the first of the game.
Another thing, Roger Stone's jury is deliberating right now. So that'll be fun to know what happens to Roger Stone.
Wow.
A lot of things.
Let's wrap this up.
So many things.
Sorry. I'm just like...
We'll add all that when we have the time to go into it.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Until the end of democracy, I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast.
Betches.